Starbuck. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello, I'm Brandon, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists. Welcome to another episode of Whinging Wednesday. Every Whinging Wednesday, we will be giving you our hot takes on the week's news stories, playing games, and responding to what you, our listeners, have to say.
In today's episode, first we're going to be talking about the situation in Ukraine and rising global tensions. Then towards the end, we're going to talk about Yorkshire Post's response to Lord Moylan's Twitter argument with them regarding levelling up.
But first we're going to address what is the elephant in the room, and you probably can't tell yet because Kathleen hasn't started talking, but she is powering through having COVID to join us here today.
Hiya! My voice is a little bit, my voice is an octave or two octaves lower than it should be, but I have finally contracted COVID and, funnily enough, we're in different parts of the country. So is Sean. So COVID has wiped out 50% of our team this week, which is really sad. But I think Sean's feeling a little bit unwell. I think she'll feel better soon. I don't feel great, but I'm sure I'll feel better soon. I had my PCR come back today saying I was positive. And I'm very lucky to have good employers who have been really nice about me taking a week off work, essentially, and some really good people to drop in food and make sure I have everything I need. And I've signed up to Netflix, Disney, Amazon Prime, Now TV, missing one, but I don't know what it is, YouTube Plus, which is the one without the adverts.
Wow.
And I think that's it. So I've got a lot of choice. Mm-hmm. So if people want to recommend things for me to watch, I'll definitely give it a go. So that's what my week's been like. So I've, you know, bit of a downgrade for me, but I'll be back at it next week. So apologies if I sound disgusting, and the person that will be editing this, I'm sure, will have a better, will try and make my voice sound as nice as possible.
Well, I think you're sounding pretty darn good to say that you've got COVID, and I'm just glad that you've come along today, even though you didn't have to join the episode, because it makes it quite nice having at least a trio here.
Yeah, it's nice. I felt like it would be good to kind of chat to people anyway. I know so many people that have got COVID in the past couple of weeks. So I feel like I'm sure some people that are listening have had it or know people that have had it. So one thing I would say is that this is a very real thing. Like, COVID is serious. Like, take it, if you get it, take it really seriously. And, you know, drink lots of fluids, have your paracetamol, sleep well, be good to yourself. Because I know so many people who have just brushed it off as like a mild cold, and it's not a mild cold. It's not that at all. It's a serious thing that people have. So, you know, protect yourself and thank God for the vaccines, as per usual. So aside from COVID, I feel like the big story that we're all talking about this week is what's going on in Ukraine. Or what isn't going on in Ukraine, I guess, is maybe a better way to put it. I think this has very much been a geopolitical interest for many people around the world. And there's no doubt, you know, along with the left wingers community, a lot of people are watching as to seeing what's going on at the minute. A lot has been said by British politicians. Liz Truss, I think, was there last week or the week before. I believe Boris will be going there or has been there at some point in the past. And I think Keir Starmer met with the head of NATO a couple of days ago when this should go out, speaking to this person about why NATO is so important and why we need to stand up to Russia and the aggressive forces that are threatening to take over land in Ukraine, which is obviously a sovereign state. One of the things I think is really interesting to notice is a little language thing, which I don't know if other people have picked up on. So if you're pro-Russian, you would call it the Ukraine. But whereas if you're anti-Russian, or like, for example, I am, like, you know, pro-British or pro our interests or pro-NATO, you would call it Ukraine. I think they're trying to kind of almost take it as a you know, people would say, like, I don't know, I could imagine people saying like the Yorkshire, but I'd imagine if they wanted it to be part of a big conglomerate, they would say the Yorkshire, as in like Yorkshire, a part of a bigger state. But anyway, yeah, well, really interested to see what's going on there. What's your opinion?
Well, one of the main ways I've come across what's happening in the Ukraine is like a lot of people I suspect that listen to the podcast, and that's on Twitter. And I think one of the most frustrating things for me has been something that just keeps trending every few hours. People using like hashtag World War III and everything. And that for me is so frustrating and annoying, because a lot of the people using that hashtag are not going to be the ones who will be directly affected by, for example, if Russia does invade Ukraine this week. I'm not exactly sure how I feel about that. We obviously don't have all the facts, just being members of the general public and what's going on behind the scenes. But it does make me uncomfortable that I think a lot of people are trivializing it. And I don't know whether that's just like a coping mechanism, or whether there's just a lot of people kind of sat at home really in their hearts of hearts thinking that it's not actually going to affect them. And that's why people are throwing jokes around about it and using the hashtag World War III. And that has been frustrating for me personally to watch.
Well, there is, even away from that sort of meme aspect of it, there is a bit of a tendency, especially in politics nowadays, just to simplify the whole thing, as in people saying, it's very good to see Labour continue to stand by NATO, but that is not Labour saying we want a war, or it's very good to see people standing up for Ukrainian sovereignty, but that doesn't mean we want to send ourselves to go onto the front lines. It's about the principles that we've had in place for 70 years. It's interesting to see that in people's own little games of political factionalism or political thinking, they're not realising that some of these principles we've had for 70 years are being threatened by Putin and Russia, and that at the end of the day is the biggest issue here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this kind of an issue shouldn't be, as I said, trivialised, but also it shouldn't be kind of co-opted to try and like stoke some kind of internal divisions within a British political party. It's very strange behaviour. I don't personally understand it. I think all of us on this podcast are pro-peace. I think all of us want peace. We want, if at all possible, for war in Ukraine to be avoided. I was actually watching BBC News the other night, and they were covering the experiences of some of the people in Ukraine at the moment, and those that experienced what Ukraine was like under Soviet control. And actually, they showed this particular family where there was this older gentleman who had experienced the famines in Ukraine, but then also his grandkids, and the fact that one of them was very, very young, and would still be affected by a war in Ukraine, but also his older brother actually would be one of the soldiers who would have to fight and defend the land in Ukraine. And it just made me feel so kind of sorry, and it did make me feel a bit despairing about the position that a lot of Ukrainians are in, who didn't ask for this conflict, who just want to get on with their lives, who just want peace. And I just wish that when all of these world leaders are talking to one another about what to do about the crisis, they keep those people in mind who will actually be affected by the conflict.
And I think also more towards keeping an eye on the people who are actually affected. There is a tendency as well from a lot of people to equate this conflict with other conflicts, but every own conflict, as we all know, has its interesting point, talking point to what makes it different, or the historical perspective. So it's also something that we should avoid, to try and go, oh, this is very similar to insert 90s war, or this is very similar to insert another war that I can use for political purpose. So it's another thing which probably, especially on the activist left, should maybe avoid.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I think we on this podcast agree with Labour's position on the issue, you know, standing up with our NATO allies and trying to work out a peaceful solution to the potential conflict between Russia and Ukraine. I say conflict, it is a one-way thing, really. It would be an invasion of Ukraine. But yeah, we're monitoring the situation very carefully. And it's definitely something that we will be talking about on the podcast in the weeks and months to come. No doubt about it. Even if a peaceful resolution is found, I don't think this issue is going to be going away anytime soon. Okay, so we're going to move on to something which we're kind of going back into domestic politics, and it's quite a jump away from the last story. So if it's a bit jarring, I do apologise. But we're going to look at something which really caught my eye on Twitter as I was scrolling through the other day. And it was Lord Moylan's response to a Yorkshire Post article, which was basically talking about how leaders in North Yorkshire in particular were not happy that the government haven't really addressed how they're going to invest in rural communities as part of their levelling up report. And this comes with the government delaying the rural part of the levelling up white paper until potentially the end of spring. And the reason why I bring up this article, and quite a lot of you might not have actually seen this, but it has led to quite a bit of back and forth between Lord Moylan, who's a Conservative peer, and the Yorkshire Post as a regional newspaper. And it's so interesting to me to see the media and politicians interacting in this way. Because it's a regional paper, they have quite a lot of autonomy. And because it's a Yorkshire regional paper, and I would say there's quite a strong sense of a Yorkshire regional identity, the Yorkshire Post response to Lord Moylan really encapsulated this kind of almost like Yorkshire defiance of the government when it comes to things like levelling up and being left behind as a region which hasn't received the same kind of fundings as, for example, the South East. Anyway, the original article, it was talking in some depth about how the rural economy is valuable to the country as a whole and how it needs more investment, particularly because of its contributions to tourism and the importance of commuters to the economy. Lord Moylan, fast forward a little bit, said that he felt like he was nervous about going to Yorkshire, essentially, because he thought that it had become transformed into a county of left whingers begging for handouts. And the response to it was quite fiery, to say the least.
Did he say left whingers or left wingers?
Well, he said leftist whingers, which it was so close
to
the podcast
name. Well, he didn't get the name of the podcast right. I feel like we now have to send him a T-shirt.
Maybe.
I feel like that's the only thing we can do.
He should be our next guest for a special episode.
We should invite him on. And now we'd like to formally invite, if anybody out there knows anyone related to this guy, let us know and we'll get him on the show. We'd love to hear about the whinging that he thinks is occurring in Yorkshire and only in Yorkshire.
Very interesting.
I'm fascinated.
Maybe it's just all Brandon.
Maybe it's
Brandon, this is all your fault. Whinging. This is basically Brandon's fault. That's it. Brandon's fault.
I think it was kind of playing up the Conservative argument over the last 10 years that, you know, there's no magic money tree and all these ideas about, oh, money's limited and we can't spend as people would like us to do. And it's really playing into those kind of arguments. Just unnecessarily, though, I don't really understand what his point was that he was making or why he thought that it would like contribute to a wider debate. And particularly because in North Yorkshire, I believe it's entirely Conservative. It's all Conservative seats, apart from Central York, which is Labour. And I don't really know what the aims were here, but what I think it did was exemplify the current government's contempt for the North. You know, they talk about a levelling up agenda, but who are they levelling up? To what extent are they levelling up? Is it worthy of the name, actually? And I just feel like the government and the Conservative Party are now taking Northern voters, particularly those who switched to Conservative last time in the last election, for granted. And this is kind of a prime example of that behaviour that must be happening behind closed doors in the Conservative Party.
One of the things I've noticed in recent months is this sort of attempt to keep whipping up culture war issues, such as Brexit, such as being a woke leftist, and then maybe it's his way of trying to use that messaging on Yorkshire. But I think the issue here is that most people, and I feel this is general across the UK are seeing through that weird culture war stuff. I mean, for example, just today or the day before, I think the former culture secretary, Oliver Dowden, was in America at the Heritage think tank, which is a very famous conservative think tank, essentially blaming the problems of the UK and the wider West on woke leftists again, or something to that extent. And the more they say it, you just realise the more ridiculous they sound. And in both cases, who's been in power for 12 years and who should be serving this country, it's the Conservatives, and they can't just keep blaming even their own voters for not getting anything done.
Yeah, I kind of rate this narrative that everything's our fault, but also we haven't won an election in 12 years. It's kind of like, it's a bit, I don't know, it just makes me laugh. It's like, well, not both of those things can be true. But getting back to the issue, we said it time and time again, I have severe questions and doubts over the levelling up agenda and what that actually will mean for people. I also have a lot of problems with the concept of taking money out of London and putting it into other places, because I don't necessarily think averaging everyone out will make anyone feel better. It will just encourage hostility between regions of the country instead of just utilising the potential that is currently there, which I don't think the Conservative government has done. And this, along, I think, with the housing crisis and the childcare crisis, was a problem, has been a problem for the past 10 or 12 years, but because it hasn't been addressed, it's just crept up and crept up and crept up. And I feel like if Cameron's first government had addressed these issues significantly and had actually dealt with the issues, we wouldn't be in this situation now. But I think it's just years and years of neglect and lack of planning. And I also have a big problem with this narrative of, well, you know, London-based people don't understand what it's like in other parts of the country, therefore we're going to move the civil service to insert X location. And I just think it's like quite a, I'm not necessarily too sure asking several thousand people to move offices across the country so that they can get a better understanding of the world in which they live. I don't necessarily think that helps too much. And even if you did want to do that, then you'd have to move the Houses of Parliament. That would be the building in which to move. It wouldn't be the building that enacts what politicians say to do. It would be the building that made the rules. So, you know, there's a lot of slippy parts of this agenda that I don't agree to. But shout out to Brandon for making this random person. I'm going to blame Brandon because he's from Yorkshire and he said it several times on the podcast. So well done, Brandon. You single-handedly have persuaded this lord that everyone in Yorkshire listens to our podcast. You know, which I'm super pro. Like, we would relocate to Yorkshire if that was the case. If our listenership in Yorkshire, how many people are there in Yorkshire? Like 3 or 4 million?
Yes, we have a larger population than Scotland. I can say that now. That
if
Ross
we had
gone.
Like, if we had 4 million, I'm just saying, if we did have 4 million people that listen to the Left Wingers on a weekly, we don't, by the way. But if we did, you know, I'd move. That's what I'm saying.
There we go.
I'd move to Yorkshire. So that's a, and then we could name it Yorkshire, the region of the Left Wingers. And I think we could start that, and it would
definitely happen.
We could get a hashtag going, maybe, I don't know, we could maybe, like, you know, fly tip somewhere, I don't know, we could like paint things on signs, I don't know, it could be like a takeover, like a underground takeover, except obviously we know the mayor and all the MPs, so they'd all know what we were doing, so that would
of course, be... yeah. I think it's worthwhile reading the response of James Mitchinson, who's the editor of the Yorkshire Post, to Lord Moylan. At least some bits of it. It's quite actually a long it's a long love letter. It's actually titled Valentine's Day Love Letter to Lord Moylan. And it's basically taking a pop at the fact that he's a lord, that he's unelected, that he's out of touch, all those kind of arguments. It started off with, what you'll find is people thoroughly fed up with sneering politicians who think they're better than us, and an awful lot of people who cannot stand liars and charlatans. It isn't about right or left for us, my lord. It's about right and wrong. Enjoy your stay. You're most welcome. It's a very interesting read, and it'll definitely be in the episode's description. Oh, actually, the first line of it is, I hope you are in fine fettle, warm and well-fed. Thank you. Thank you so much for writing to me, though I must say your contempt took me by surprise. It just reads beautifully, and it really does play into that idea of a Yorkshire identity, but also that the North has for a long time been left behind. And I actually completely agree with you, Kathleen, in that, you know, to level up the North, we shouldn't be levelling down London or any other part of this country. It should be in addition to the funding already given. And especially for things like rail infrastructure, where even right-wing economists will admit that investing in rail and borrowing to invest in infrastructure is something that in the long term, you know, you will get the money back for. And I don't understand why successive governments have neglected that part of their responsibility to keep the country running.
I have to say, my two favourite newspapers, or my definitely in my top five, are the Manchester Evening News and the Yorkshire Post, which I think have just clung on to like the last battle defence in what is like regional news. And it's such a shame that so many other good regional papers have gone. But when you have a regional paper like that, you're able to do things like that, where you can respond on an issue that only affects your constituents or the people that read your paper. Yeah, it's such a shame that there aren't more regional, like strong regional papers that aren't bought en masse, like the Manchester Evening News and the Yorkshire Post, that are able to do that. Because I just think The Guardian running that answer just wouldn't have been as funny. Like, it had to come from a local paper, otherwise it just wouldn't have been funny. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you for listening to my dulcet tones and for joining us on another episode of Whinging Wednesday. We'll be back next Whinging Wednesday with a new episode, and it won't sound so tragic, I promise.
If you enjoyed listening to us, please subscribe to the podcast to be notified when our new episodes come out. We also have a mailing list, the Left Whingers Communities, which you can join using the link in the episode description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using our links to our social media, which are also in the description.
Keep whinging, and we'll see you soon.